like to extend greetings to everyone who is listening this morning. I'm Rob Christie, and I'm with my dear friend Jim Hamilton. I've been involved in personal growth and transformation for about 5 decades. During that time, I've had occasion to meet a lot of teachers, people who offered support, and I definitely put Jim Hamilton in the top five. And there are times when I'd put him number one. He has technologies to offer that are proven if you are interested in making a meaningful change in your life. And this morning, we want to delve into three things. What Jim terms soaring affirmations, prayer, and how the concept of witness fits into that picture. So, Jim, take it away.
So, good morning, Rob. And as always, it's a pleasure. Our conversations are always interesting, and curiously, we record them, so it means we get to share them with others. So, I've gotten involved with an organization, and I participate by delivering the prayer. And this is a spiritual organization. And what I've come to see is that the prayer that was a group prayer, and I see this often, is that a group prayer will very often bring up the things you don't want. In other words, part of the prayer is heal so-and-so from cancer, or help somebody who's in poverty, or help somebody pay their rent this month, or, whatever. Prayers are usually about uplifting, but usually they include a component of what the problem is. And I think that is so out of date. And so the point is that a prayer, first off, my personal opinion is a prayer is what comes out of us in every moment. Even when we're sleeping, our prayer is what we exude. Our prayer, and in fact, our prayer is to our connection with Source, because that's our truest connection. And so our prayer is a big deal. And when you look at it from the perspective of affirmation, prayer becomes more understandable, because when we're exuding, or when we're sharing our nature with the cosmos, because that's who we're partnered with, we want to learn how to be as clean and clear as we can in what we, I use the word exude kind of curiously, but we want our output to be as clear as possible. And so I'm starting to combine the idea of prayer and affirmations, because your prayer is your affirmation. And as we understand our prayer as our affirmation and vice versa, we realize that there's a whole bunch of the story we can leave out and just stick with the end result of what we want to achieve. And so our prayer is our broadcast. As we learn to refine our prayer, we see less of a mixed result, more of a clear result. And then a witness is the concept of having affirmations or prayer, and then seeing evidence of that in the real world, for which the witness becomes another gradient of the affirmation.
Well, let's underline a couple of points. That may be a new concept for many people, the notion that prayer and affirmation are the same thing. Am I hearing you correctly on that? In your view, those two things are actually the one and the same?
Yeah, a lot of, and I'm speaking in broad generalities, because I'm not typically the prayer type of person, so I have a sense of what I believe prayer is for most people. And I believe there's definitely a component of wanting in prayer and talking to God and asking for help. There's a wanting to escape what you don't want. And I will say, even at that, it's powerful to put what you are trying to remedy or leave behind, putting it on the shoulders of God, so to speak. And there's a lot to be said for that. But here we are in the year 2023, and we're learning about refining our output so that we can be more clear. And as we are more clear, we see more evidence of what it is we want. And so our prayer, we need to learn how to refine it so that it's much more, when I say simplistic, so it's much more clear. It isn't any different than our affirmation, because we need to learn that our affirmation is what we want to be so. And we need to learn to leave out the part of why it doesn't work. We just want to settle on the part that we want. And that's the new learning, whether it's an affirmation or whether it's a prayer. We need to clean up our broadcast, our output.
Let me give you two examples of two different prayers because I want to make sure I'm understanding your feeling about this. Prayer number one, God, please cure me of cancer. Prayer number two, God, please support me in achieving robust good health. As I understand it, you are asserting that prayer number one actually is likely to have a negative result because all the subconscious hears is cancer.
That's right.
And in the second case, what the subconscious hears, or God, whichever, is robust good health. Am I hearing you correctly that you want to support people in using prayer number two rather than prayer number one?
And actually, prayer number three, because we create reality from three different vantage points. In other words, our prayer, our affirmations have three different potential vantage points. One is escaping, or pardon me, resisting what we don't want, which is kind of like your first version of prayer. I got to get away from this. I have cancer. Please help. Then the next version is choosing what we want based on what we don't want, which is what I kind of heard in the second prayer. And the third version is more pure. God, I have robust health. There's a difference between, I wish we could recall what the second one actually was and take it apart.
Well,
But the
I
third,
can tell you. It's
okay.
simple. God, please give me robust good health.
Okay. So you
That
see
was my
that.
second.
Okay. So that's asking for something that you don't yet have.
Right.
Okay. The third version is God. I mean, robust health. I have robust health. See, our job isn't to ask God for things. Our job is to partner with God. So, God, I have robust health is a higher quality affirmation, a higher quality communication, a higher quality broadcast. The idea is to make sure in our affirmations and our prayer that we're not coming from what we don't want to have what we want. In other words, give me robust health. That sounds like you don't have it yet, and you're reliant on. And so when you have it, I have robust health. Thank you, God. Now we're getting cleaner in our broadcast, whether it as be as an affirmation, whether it be as a prayer. And again, God doesn't do things to us. What we do is we learn how to raise our frequency to become a match for God's frequency. That's really probably more what actually goes on.
Let's touch on a detail here. In my experience, I encounter a lot of people who experience themselves as separate from God. And their prayers, reflect that point of view. Speaking as a mystic who believes that nothing exists except God, I don't have that dilemma. What's your take on that?
So first off, I like the term mystic. I like you describing yourself as a mystic. I like that a lot. I think that we're coming to learn First off, the concept of law of attraction, the concept of cause and effect, all of that is starting to make more sense to us in this day and time. And so we're also starting. And so if the concept of law of attraction is real, it means there's a bigger component of life. There's a bigger order, there's a bigger energetic. And as we learn how to blend with that, in other words, seeing ourselves apart from that is one of the consciousness lessons, because there's various grades of resistance and rigidity and being shut down, which is separation from that. And then there's allowing, because see, that's what we're all learning about. We're learning about the difference between resistance and allowing and the gradients of that. And so as we move more into allowing, and if you get into the map of consciousness, the higher the gradient you are in allowing, in my world, the more you naturally become blended with source. And don't forget, the forest and the trees are actually doing this as we speak. And the bumblebees, nature is plugged in to source, into God. And so they have that blending. So the idea that we think we are separate is an expensive, I don't want to say error, I don't want to say lesson. It has an expense to it. And so as we move more into allowing, so you want our prayer to be more in the nature of allowing. We want our prayer to be more in, I'm guided by the frequency of God. The frequency of God guides me through my life. So I think that's clearer than asking for something. It's more of a statement. I'll say equality, a statement of equality, because the truth is we wouldn't be what we are without God. We are a part of God. And the more we learn how to broadcast that and accept that in our own lives, the truer our lives become. And we see it in all the different kinds of evidence and higher quality experiences we have and the synchronicities and on and on and on.
My son introduced me to an elderly Jewish rabbi who asserted that God does not intervene in human affairs as it would violate the principle of free will. He wants us to figure it out on ourselves. Nothing wrong with talking to God, but don't expect him to do it for you. How does that sit with you?
And Visionaries Thrive in All Times, my first book. Early on, I make the remark that I don't remember how it goes, and maybe I'll find that quote and put it up in the video here. But something about God doesn't drop $1 million off on people's porches now and then. It doesn't work that way. You know, this is a, you know, we have to, what's the expression about putting our boots on? We put our boots on one, I don't know exactly what it is, but the idea is it's actually, so God is the governance that everything shares. I mean, that's one of my simplest interpretations. And our job is to rise up to that. And that's what consciousness is about. And in fact, that's the opposite of resistance. It's the opposite of overload. It's a letting go process that for over a period of a lifetime is relatively scary to learn that process of letting go. And as you do, once you discover there's no such thing as the devil and on, then that all we do is we unfold into this bigger nature, that this realm that God is a part of, is an expression of, and actually it's a type of governance. So as we I think the rabbi is completely right. God doesn't do anything for us. Now people will pray, and believing they've handed it over to God, they'll feel better and maybe they'll relieve some of their issue. And I'm not making light of people prayer and where they are in the whole thing, but I don't believe that God on Wednesday says, well, I'm gonna do an extra little favor for Robin. When he gets out to his car, his tires are already on it. You know, I don't think it works like that. And so our job is to rise up, and we do that through our broadcast, we do that through our prayer, we do that through our affirmations, and we learn how to become singular in our focus ultimately.
David Wilcock tells a wonderful story that comes out of World War II. The Americans discovered an island that was ideally situated to be the embarkation point for bombing raids on Japan. And when they got there, they discovered it was inhabited by native people. who had literally never had a previous encounter with civilized, well, I shouldn't say civilized.
Right.
people from what we commonly referred to as more advanced, you know, cultures, because we have more technology, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they built an airstrip and started landing planes. And the elders of the tribe got together and decided that God had arrived. But they didn't think God was the soldiers, because the soldiers, even though they wore uniforms, were men and women just like they were. They thought the planes were God. So they made effigies of the planes out of palm fronds and started worshiping those. And the point of all that is that, and you've shared with me on a number of occasions, the notion of the map of consciousness. And specifically, everybody's at some place along that path, and our job, if we're spiritually inclined, is to embrace technologies such as yours that allow us to rise. What's your take on that?
Well, I thought you were going to head off into the 100th monkey, so you've kind of got me by surprise a little bit with this idea of these indigenous people. But then again, you know, God, I say God comes out of the sky, so I can see that a little bit. But it's true that humans, we live in a world of mostly the unknown, because we're linear in our thinking. And so being linear in our thinking, there's so much that we miss. You might even say these indigenous people, I don't want to think of them as being linear in their thinking, but they were brought into something that was so much bigger than what they had experienced before, that they became linear in their thinking, and they started worshiping something that was certainly mysterious and marvelous. But the overall scale is allowing, and even these indigenous people moved to allowing. Now, they might have ended up with ice cream and Oreos and some things that the American soldiers had that probably didn't do them much good, but allowing is the way out. And let's say those Indians, those indigenous people, had been resistant to the soldiers. How would their pathway been different for them? Not so much the soldiers, because soldiers would have wiped them out. They had the tools to do it. They had the machinery and the guns and all that. And so the indigenous people, what they did was they went into non-resistance. And the simplest solution for them was to allow the experience and go into a state of reverence for it, which actually will then unfold into something else, especially if they don't fight with the soldiers. They don't get into resistance with the military, this odd military that comes from somewhere else. They actually, in some respects, and possibly many respects, save themselves by allowing. And I think that's a worthy subject. Now, we don't know exactly how the whole thing would go, but I can tell you that resistance to the Americans, I assume the Americans coming in, would have created a lot of trouble for them, because I think the Americans or whoever it was going to take over that island, do their airstrip and do their thing, and no ifs, ands, or buts. And so the allowing, which ended up looking like treating God, looking like airplanes and palm fronds and stuff, was probably a very safe choice for them. But we touched on the map of consciousness. I'd like to kind of go there for a second, because resistance, first off, resistance brings us more of the same. And allowing brings us something new and different in each moment. And I think we've touched on just a few minutes ago in this video that allowing is how we become enabled of our natural state of connection with source. Allowing is how we start to fit into the order that everything shares. Because there's a what I believe God is best described as a single governance that everything abides by. And we have to move out of our rigidity, our resistance, our already knowing the answers, our linear versions of things, and learn how to let go, for which allowing grows. And again, allowing will bring us something new and different in each moment. And go to, back to those indigenous people. In allowing, they saved their very skin, because in resistance, they would have found themselves hunkered down, doing whatever they could to protect their lives, because this war effort was taken at island, no ifs, ands, or buts. And so allowing is a really interesting subject.